I'll ask Pastor to pray.
Okay.
Sure.
Lord, we thank you for this moment in which the one who's really present is you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's your voice that we want to hear.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you are here to lead us and that you have something important for each one of us that is according to what we need. So we welcome your presence upon Stephen.
Yes,
and we give ourselves to you, our attention, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We give our attention to you. We surrender it to you and ask you that you speak to us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Praise God. Welcome, everyone, once more in this wonderful week. Praise God. So we are going to continue with our Bible study series, which is entitled Keys to Powerful and Prevailing Prayers. So today we are going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. We are going to begin with that passage of scripture and then we'll move on. Reading from the NIV version, the Bible reads, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Praise God.
Amen.
So, in line with our theme today, I want us to discuss about prayer and fasting. So, first of all, if you see on the third paragraph there, I've defined the word prayer in Greek. It's proseuke. Proseuke, that's the Greek word for prayer. So, if you are interested in that, you can mark it or you can rehearse it over and over. I used the translated words, not the real Greek, to help us. And the word fasting is the Greek word, which is nesteia, which means to abstain from food and drinks, as well as anything else that could be a distraction to our prayer. Another word that expresses prayer is parakrese, meaning request, solicitation, prayer, entreaty, invocation, or rogation. Now, when you look at this word parakrese, it reminds us of another important word, which is paraclete. That is the Holy Spirit. It refers to the Holy Spirit, meaning the one who stands by, the comforter, the advocate, the one who stands alongside, or the strengthener. Those are the characteristics of the Spirit of God. So when we talk about fasting, it should always go with the word prayer and fasting. Because if we say fasting, it just simply means that we are abstaining from food or certain things. So there is a difference of having a hunger strike, if I put it in that way, and praying and fasting.
Amen.
Why am I saying this? The Bible gives us a lot of examples. Okay? At one point, Saul bound his army by an oath to say, "No one should eat until we triumph in battle." And the soldiers became so wary. The son Jonathan is the one who started to break that oath. He found honey and he dipped, the tip of his sword or his spear, and then ate. He felt it was good and he gave some even to the soldiers. The enemy began to prevail. He said, "Something must have gone wrong. Who has eaten?" And then he confessed, he said, please, it's me. I was very hungry. But it gave us the strength to defeat more soldiers. So it's good for us to break that oath and eat in order to have energy and conquer our enemies. You can understand the other dynamic there. And then, in the book of Acts, we hear another group of people, the Jews, who bound themselves by an oath that we will not eat anything until Paul is killed. So, that was a serious one. So they were so frustrated with the preaching of the Apostle Paul that they wanted this man killed, murdered, assassinated. So they said, we are not going to eat anything until this guy is killed. But thank God, the word was reached to him and he escaped and God kept on rescuing him. So I wanted us to understand that when we talk about fasting, we are also including the word prayer to make a difference. So it is prayer and then and fasting. Two things. There's a difference if one day I just wake up and say, today I'm just going to fast. Then I'm not eating anything, I'm not praying, I'm not finding any time to meditate on scripture or to read the word. I'm just walking around and doing everything as the normal day. Why not just calling it a little bit of hunger strike so that maybe you can detoxicate your body or something? So the important part is adding the prayer to that fast. Are we on the same page there?
Yeah.
Praise God. So, the other thing that I want us to consider before diving in is that when we hear of prayer and fasting, that does not mean that prayer and fasting is an act of bending the arm of God to force him to do something that we want him to do. That is not the way it works. And I've got a backup scripture for that. When you are praying for something that is out of the will of God, no matter how many days or years, if you may, pray and fast, if the answer is no, it will still come back no. Let me give you an example. Praise God. 2 Samuel chapter 12. In chapter 11, David commits adultery with Bathsheba. And then he goes ahead and kills the husband, Uriah. The Lord, now, when that act was done, Bathsheba conceived. And so the Lord sends the prophet Nathan to confront David. So because you don't go to the king and you begin to scold him to say, you have sinned, you might live with your body without the head because he has authority. So he had to use wisdom. He gave a parable to say there was this man who had, for example, 100 sheep. And his servant only had one. Then he had visitors who visited him. But to the surprise, instead of him getting one of the 100 and slaughter for his guests, he decided to get the only one for his servant, slaughtered it for his guests. And then that enraged the king. And he said, that man is a wicked man. He must be put to death. And the prophet said, that man is you, O King David. Then he realized Uriah was the servant. David, who had only Bathsheba, and David had many wives, 300 actually. The son came and do double and to 700 plus concubines. Okay, so what happened is David immediately humbled himself and declared a prayer and fasting. The prophet went to him again and told him to say, the Lord has spared your life. He has answered your prayer by sparing your life. You are not going to die, but the child shall not live. That's the point why I'm coming to this one. So, even when the prophet said that the child was not going to live, David went for some days to pray and fast so that perhaps God could save this child. The child died anyway. One day, the Bible said, described how David fasted. He did not take a bath. Sometimes I have done that one, and my wife is very upset with me, you know. If she says, are you taking a shower? Then I'm going to say, actually, today I'm fasting from a bath. She'll be like, no, that is not a good fasting. Yeah, so I said David did the same. Yeah, that's something that we joke about. Fasting from a bath. You can do it if you want. Yeah, but I don't know. I wouldn't advise that one. Praise God. So David did not bath all the days he was fasting, and he ate nothing, nor drank anything. And this day he saw his servants whispering. And at that point, he knew, because the child was born, he knew that the child had died. So he arose from his fasting, took a shower, whether there was a shower or a bath, just a bath. Don't think showers were invented by then. Yeah. And then he ate. He changed his garments and he ate. The servants came to ask him to say, all these days you've been praying and fasting, why have you stopped? He said, I was praying so that maybe God in his mercy can save the life of my child, my son. But he has taken my son. There is nothing more to pray and fast for. I should not pray that God brings him back, because I know that one day it is me who will follow him. Amen. So that is one of the classical examples which shows us that sometimes there are issues that we can pray and fast for. If they are not in the will of God, they will be as the way God has said they will be. Amen. I hope it's coming up well. Okay. So, I want us to continue by looking at five questions which I want us to consider. The first one is, why should we pray and fast? So we need to ask that. What's the big deal? Others will say, who cares if we fasted or not? Okay? But why should we pray and fast? So we are to fast because it is a spiritual discipline for renewal, guidance, healing, resolution of problems, for special empowerment in the grace of God in order to do great things for God, as well as the grace to handle difficult situations. That's the reason. People will pray and fast for some of these reasons and many more. Okay? I know some people who just said, I'm going to pray for health reasons, because that's part of the benefit. I'll talk a little bit about that. Okay? So that's the reason why we should pray. Then, we pray and fast also because the Lord wants us to pray and fast. So when we look at Mark chapter 2, we can just go there very quickly. Let me just read that one, because I don't have many scriptures that I'm going to read today. Mark chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 18. Praise God. The Bible reads, from New Living Translation. Once, when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do? Jesus replied, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. Why can't They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday the groom will be taken away from them. And then they will fast. Then he goes ahead by talking of the analogy of taking the new cloth, patching it on an old one. Okay? I remember growing up in the village where clothes used to go, you know, they could tear, you know, they become worn out. It's maybe blue, it turns into grayish or brownish. And now, there is no way you can go to the new color of that particular shirt or the pants for you to patch on the old one. It will surely show the difference. It will show to say, ah, this one is the old one. You know, and then it will begin to, if it is behind, because as young kids, you know, we used to have torn shorts from behind. And once the new ones are patched, it will begin to appear as if it's the eyes. So when you are going, you know, the new colors will be showing from far away, you know. Yeah, so that's an example. In other words, what Jesus was saying was that he himself was instituting a new covenant. So there was no way, because John's disciples and the Pharisees, they were fasting under the old covenant model. And so Jesus came and is introducing the new covenant. At that time, he's celebrating and eating with them. You know, because he knew that the time is coming. When I'm taken up, then they can pray and fast. But the Pharisees and John's disciples took offense. They said, how come? We're supposed to be fasting together, but you are enjoying and drinking. So he gave this scripture, these words in this scripture. For him to say, the time will come when their groom is taken away. Then they will fast. This statement implies that Jesus Christ expects his disciples and us today to pray and fast as he is in heaven. He was taken away. He died, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So the other reason is that we pray and fast because some situations can only be dealt with by prayer and fasting. Some things, they will only respond to prayer and fasting. Okay? So there is an example when we read the King James Version. So if you have the King James Version, when you read Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 21, primarily I think it's in verse 20, 21 there. So there is a scenario where somebody brings a child to the disciples of the Lord to say, pray for this child. Set him free. They tried all they could and they failed. Then they changed their request to the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, Lord, please help us. We brought our child to your disciples, but they failed to deliver the child. Jesus commanded the evil spirit and it left him. It left the child. The disciples were amazed. They came to him secretly and asked to say, Lord, why did we not cast him out? That is a demon. All these other versions says, he taught them to say, you pervert generation. You have little faith. But if you have the little faith, if you have small faith as a mustard seed, you can just give a command and the spirit will obey you. Then King James Version adds a statement by saying, however, this kind goes out only by fasting. Amen. So there are some situations that will call really serious attention of prayer and fasting. When we pray and fast, we are immersed in the presence of God. In Exodus chapter 34, I think it's verse 28, yeah. The Bible tells us of Moses. Let me just read that verse only. Exodus 34, verse 28 says, Moses remained there on the mountain with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. In all that time we ate no bread and drank no water. And the Lord wrote the terms of the covenant, 10 commandments, on the stone tablets. Verse 29. When Moses came down to Mount Sinai carrying 2 tablets, so he to go down there. You are going to hear that his face was radiant. His face was shining. When he appeared before the people, they saw his face was blazing. It was shining. And so, for people not to run away from him, he had to cover himself with the veil until he entered the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. Now, I'm not saying that today we should pray so that our face should begin to shine like Moses. Perhaps, you know, they can begin to shine. Yeah, but all I'm emphasizing is that when we pray and fast, we are immersed in the presence of the Lord. We are endowed by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
And as we pray, the prayers that have been baked through prayer and fasting and just ordinary prayers will be different. I'm saying this because I've seen some of it in my personal life, especially in the ministry of deliverance, where demonic powers are concerned. There were times whereby I'll be preaching in the church, they'll manifest, and then I'll give commands maybe quite a number of times for the devil to just leave the body. You know, come out in the name of Jesus. You pray, even sweating sometimes. But there were times when I was blazing in fasting and prayer. It would be just one command. In the name of Jesus, come out! You just see the sign of surrender. And then I knew to say, yes, prayer and fasting has made the power of God to manifest more in my life. Hallelujah. So, that is the reason for us to pray and fast. So, when we have needs, for example, like there is an issue of sickness, or there is some oppression of demonic powers, or maybe there is a situation, or maybe a court case, for example. I'm talking about practical things. Your loved one is sick, you know. You can consecrate yourself to prayer and fasting. To say, let me pray and fast over this situation, and God will move. If we want to see revival in the church, in the body of Christ, in the country, we can pray and fast as believers, and the power of God will be evident. Let me move on. When should we pray and fast? I put that scripture there, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It says that, pray always. Now, we can pray and fast whenever we feel led by the Spirit of God to pray and fast. We can pray and fast sometimes when we just feel to say, I feel the burden about something or about somebody or about a situation, we can pray and fast. The Bible shows us, especially in the Old Testament, when the nation was threatened, they went into prayer and fasting, especially during the time of warfare, of war. Mm-hmm. Every time they had to say, a nation is coming, after Israel. A nation is coming after Judah. Kings were afraid. For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat was afraid. He called the national prayer and fasting. And it was in that meeting that the Spirit of the Lord spoke through a young prophet and said, "Do not be afraid. The battle is the Lord's." They had to put the worshippers. Instructions came. They put the worshippers in front of the soldiers. The soldiers behind. They went in praise and worship. And God sent the angels. Defeated the enemies. They killed each other. Amen? So, we see that. When people are afraid, when they are threatened by situations, they can choose to pray and fast. That is an act of faith, showing that their trust is in the Lord. So when of course it's difficult, you know, to be realistic. You can't fast every day throughout the year. You can fast once a week if you want. You can fast once a month. You can fast once in 3 months. There are so many ways you can do it. You can fast at the beginning of the year, as we do as the church. In Africa, in our church, there is a lot of prayer and fasting that goes on, especially at the beginning of the year, because everyone wants to dedicate the year to the Lord. they want things, you know, to change in that particular year. So there are 40 days, even on radio, Christian Voice will be hearing people, you know, announcing there will be 40 days of prayer. In fact, our nation even joined every year on 18th of October. There is the National Day of Prayer and Fasting. So, we can pray and fast. As the Spirit leads you, as a family, as an individual, even as the church, we can pray and fast. Amen. Amen. That's about one. So when you feel being led by the Spirit of God, or sometimes you can just make a deliberate decision to say, "I choose to dedicate and consecrate myself in prayer to the Lord." Because if we say, when you feel led, that could be a very good excuse to go for years without fasting. To say, "Oh no, I don't feel led." You know, even when the pastor says at church to say, "Okay, we are going to have at least a time of prayer and fasting as the congregation," others will say, "Oh no, I don't feel led in the spirit to pray and fast." So, praise God, we can make that decision to just consecrate ourselves. The third is the how should we pray and fast. It's interesting because the scripture that we just read is answering this question, the how. So Jesus is confronting some do's and don'ts that were going on among the Pharisees. So he said, "When you fast, do not be somber as the hypocrites do." That is from the TNIV. "For they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting." I remember one friend of mine, way back, you know, we were just growing in faith. So there was a prayer and fasting at church. And so I went to visit this friend of mine. I wasn't even part of it. And then I looked at my friend from afar. He was looking very sad and upset on his face. And his lips were even very dry, you know. So I asked him, I said, "What's going on? You know, you don't look okay." He was like, "Can't you see that I'm praying and fasting? I haven't eaten anything since morning." I was like, "Whoa, but is it a fight? You know, I didn't even know about this. You are just staring me right now." So, what I'm saying is that when we pray and fast, it should be a secret. Now, I want us to understand this very well. It should be, if we are praying as the church, can that be a secret? The whole church as the family, we are praying. Amen? But when we begin to go out, the moment we leave VCF, we begin to announce now. Hallelujah, praise God, I'm praying and fasting. You just meet your friend. How are you doing today? Yeah, it's just the hunger. You know, we are praying and fasting. So it's like you are preaching the prayer and fasting wherever you are going. Then that becomes the problem, because it's like you are advertising yourself about this, you know, act which you are doing. Okay? Even as an individual, of course you can tell, you know, close people that you are with, so that they don't suspect you to be weird again, to say, but what's happening? You know, you just wake up. Like home, I've done that several times. I'll just wake up, I'll tell my wife, I'll be like, please, today. In the past, I never used to say. I'll just wake up, I'll go for work. I'll come back, she has prepared, I'll be like, I'm fasting. That brought some chaos, of course. I had to work through it, you know. Why didn't you tell me? You made me to prepare, blah, 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 blah. So you have to communicate, especially when you are married, you know, to your partner. You are a family. Amen. Of course, that time she was pregnant, so I couldn't force her into fasting, you know, in her condition. Yeah, so we have to communicate with our family members, even with our close friends, those that we are in faith with. We can share to say, oh, actually, I'm having a time of prayer. It's a good thing. But let's not go and preach about it everywhere. I'm going to fool everyone I find. I'm like, hallelujah, prayer and fasting. Do you fast? Yeah, then that is not good. And Jesus was also warning to say, don't be like the hypocrites, whereby you even disfigure your face. You know, whereby you are showing wrinkles, you know, you are upset, or you maybe you are showing sad. And even maybe your walk, you know, you walk like this, you know, the way I walk, and then I just begin to throw myself, you know, to just show that I'm powerless. All this act is there so that when you're asking me to say, why are you behaving like that? Oh, I'm praying and fasting. That's why. That is not okay. And then our hair is not supposed to be everywhere, maybe scruffy, or maybe just put on something, anything. You know, something like attractive to show people to question us about it. No. Jesus said, don't disfigure your faces to show others that you are fasting. Because you are going to receive your answer before you even break your fast. And that answer is going to be zero. Amen. Now you would have fasted for nothing. It's hard work, prayer and fasting. And then he also said, you have to wash your face. You know, you have to put oil. Meaning that you have to appear normal, you know, to the people. You have to appear normal. And then you have to wash your face. You have to apply, if you're applying oil. Yeah. I don't want to go in details about that. I think you understand what I'm talking about. So we have to appear normal. You understand the order, right? Praise God. So, this is what Jesus is saying. Now, Pharisees, these were very disciplined religious leaders. But again, they could go to a extreme. And most of the times, Jesus was confronting them because of their behavior and their acts. Sometimes, these are the men who could wear long robes that would be sweeping wherever they are coming from, you know, to show the holier-than-thou situation. And he also mentioned in the Gospels that some of them used to go and pray at marketplaces, okay, whereby he sees the crowd is here, you know, they are selling things. That's where now he goes, oh Lord, I lift your name on high, and he begin to shout. The aim is to attract people to himself, so that they will know that, oh, he's now in prayer. Jesus was against that. Amen. That's why he even thought about prayer to say, if you are to pray, go to your house, enter that room, lock the door, and then begin to pray. And your Father who is in heaven, who sees what is done in secret, will hear your prayer and reward you. That is personal, private prayer. And then there is also religious, no, let me not put religious, corporate prayer by the church. Because religion can mean so many things. And I don't want to go that route. Amen. So, this is about how we should fast and pray. It has to be in order. On the how, I want to mention something also very important. Now, when you begin to pray and fast, it's not an easy thing, especially when you are just beginning. It's very difficult. I've been there. Tempers begin to raise, you know. Before I come to myself, let me give an example. So I used to work for this company, and the neighbor to the office was an Indian man, you know, a Muslim. And during their time of prayer and fasting, his workers were my friends. So they used to come and say, I used to see them every time he was about to come to the farm, they could run around and put things in place. You know, they would be very afraid around that time. So I could ask them to say, but why do you behave like this? Sometimes, you know, they were like, oh, when it is time for prayer and fasting, our boss becomes very aggressive because of the hunger. You know? I didn't just, you know, let that pass. I started relating it to myself. I was like, wow. So even the Muslims also, they lose their temper. Then I started relating to myself, you know. When we are praying and fasting, the flesh begins to resist the prayer and fasting. In fact, massive appetite begins to come in. You will begin to crave more. You want to eat something. And because you have announced maybe to your partner or somebody or your wife or your friend, there is accountability there. If they see you say that you are fasting and all of a sudden there is a big plate, they are going to say, ah, what's going on? But you said you are fasting. What's happening? So because you know that you can't eat, then you become upset. People lose their temper because they are hungry. Those are things that happens. But you have to suppress that. You have to control it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. That's why it is advisable when you are praying and fasting, you find time to spend with God alone or even as a group. Because when you are praying and fasting, the enemy will counter you by bringing misunderstanding, by bringing opposition, by bringing hunger. Excessive hunger is going to strike you. That might even discourage you, because after differing with somebody, you are going to raise your voice, and eventually you are going to realize, you are like, oh, Lord, I've sinned. Let me just break the fast. There will be no meaning. You see? So we need to watch out in those areas. So the first day is going to be quite difficult. But, of course, the second day again is going to be a bit difficult. If you are going for more than one day, the third day, you are going to feel the flesh now has begun to obey. Okay? You begin to feel that the hunger has been suppressed. That excessive appetite will reduce. And then, how should we pray and fast? When we are praying and fasting, it's not just about not eating food. I'm being realistic. There are people with diabetes. You know, there are people with different conditions. And they just have to eat for them to be normal, you know, for things to just go well with them. So if you are to pray and fast, maybe if you are in that condition, as you are praying for your healing, you can choose to eat the food. And of course, everyone loves the phone, I believe. You can stay away for some time and say, okay, I'm going to stay away from this. You can just choose something that you love to do most and just say, okay, since I've got this condition and I cannot pray and fast, then I'm not going to be on Facebook. I'm not going to touch the phone. I'm not going to be watching television. I'm not going to be drinking coffee. Some of us, we love coffee, right? Yeah. I'm not going to be drinking coffee. Okay? You just stay away from that which you love most. That works well too. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, that is how we should do it. So, when you are praying and fasting, how you should do it is, you have to prepare yourself. Okay? Let me just go a little further about that. Then I'll transition. You have to prepare your mind. You have to know that I'm praying and fasting. I'm saying this because in the past, in those early days, we could say, I am fasting, and in the by and by, you see some delicious food, you forget, you eat. After your food, that's when you are like, oh, actually, I was fasting. Oh my God, they have messed upon me. You see? So you have to discipline yourself. You have to prepare to say, I am fasting, and you become conscious that you are praying and fasting. Not like the by the way thing, because you forget. You can begin by prayer. First you have to ask yourself the purpose of that prayer and fasting. Why am I praying and fasting? Just as we began with the question, why pray and fast? You have to ask, why is it that I am going into this prayer and fasting? Find the purpose. Find the goal. Then begin to pray in that line. The enemy is going to bring temptation. Now remember, in Luke chapter 4, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to pray and fast 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came. Every time prayer and fasting is done, there's a temptation that will come. That is going to follow. Amen? Jesus was tempted 3 times. And he knew the enemy will tempt you with something that is appealing to you at that particular time. He knew that Jesus was hungry and he needed food. So he brought the temptation, knowing that Jesus was able to do anything. He said, if you are a son of God, turn this stone into bread and eat, because you are hungry. He wanted him to begin to display the power. But Jesus said, this power is to save mankind, not to be used on stones that are lifeless. Hallelujah. Mm. So he resisted the temptation. He said, man cannot live by bread alone. Mm. That must tell us that we cannot live by eating alone. Amen? Mm-hmm. But by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The Apostle Paul said, that is something else I wanted to say. I wanted to say about physical training and then spiritual, but it's not related. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, food is needed for our physical body, but the spiritual food is more important than the physical body. Amen? Mm-hmm. Which is the word of God. So, the enemy will bring temptations. Moses, we just read in Exodus 34, verse 28. After he's coming back at one point, after he has fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and he's coming with the tablets of stones, he was met by the temptation when he found the whole community of Israel had convinced Aaron to make an idol, a golden calf, as their god, to begin to worship it and bow to it. That made him angry and he crushed the tablets of stones. He had to go back again. Amen. So, temptation will come. We need to resist it. In Jesus' name. So we need to start our day by preparing ourselves. Let's define the reason why we are fasting. And we need also to ask ourselves, how long I've jumped to the last one. How long should we pray and fast? Because you can't say, the Spirit has read me anonymously and I'm still going until 5 years. No, we still need you in Jesus' name. That body must be taken care of. It shouldn't go faster than it's supposed to be. You can fast for many times, for long hours, many days, but you need to take care of that body. So you can fast for half a day. I'm beginning with half a day, whereby you just decide to skip breakfast. You say, okay, today I'm not taking any coffee, anything. That will be your fasting. And during that time, you just concentrate by praying. Even when you are a little bit busy, you're just there meditating on the word of the Lord or praying in your heart. You can fast one day. You just skip breakfast, you skip lunch. Okay? If it is food, as I've said, there are so many dynamics we can fast from, so many things we can fast from. You skip food and say, okay, for one day, maybe for 2 days, for 3 days. Others will fast for 1 month or for 40 days. It is not easy. Our church in Zambia does the 40 days every year at the beginning. We have put it open to say this. It begins actually on the 2nd because we say, okay, on January 1st, we need to eat. It's the new year. So you can't put fasting on that day, you know. So we say it begins on the 2nd of January. And then we put it open to say this is going to be a 40 days period of prayer and fasting. But church members are welcome to fast according to their strength. So those who can do half a day, praise God, they will do it. And they will say, oh, Pastor, I just did half a day. Praise God. Bless you. You're encouraging them. Those that can do one day, they'll pull through. 2 days, 3 days. So it will be a chain. They'll be falling out. Others will go 7. They'll say, I did 7 days. Others will do 2 weeks, just like that. And to be honest, only very few of us as leaders. Sometimes even me as a pastor who is leading, I almost even want to surrender and say, Lord, I think I can just break, you know, in the middle. 40 is too much. Why? You know? Anyway, but, you know, it's a church program. Hallelujah. So, few of us, the first time we did it, only 3 of us made it to the very end. And we have seen the power of God. Big things have moved. There are always answers, you know. I can go on and on to explain. There are always answers. One time when we prayed and fasted, 40 days, I'd just graduated from the seminary. We had no money for rent with my wife. On the 39th day, God gave me a word that he was going to bless us with money. And that's the time I saw, even in the vision, I'm close to the president of the nation. And I went and told my wife, because she was staying at her mother's place after delivering the twins. My wife, Mary, laughed at me. She said, you said God gave you a word that you are going to work as an accountant. You abandoned that profession 5 years ago. How come? Where is it coming from? Do you think it's God saying? She laughed. And moreover, have you applied to any place? So she laughed at me. And then she was like, you are talking about the president again. That is very unrealistic. But a few months later, that is going to be fulfilled. I was called to go and discuss the children feeding program ministry at this organization. We went, discussed that. Then the topic changed, started asking me about accounting things. I didn't know that it was an interview. At the end, I was told, you have just gotten yourself a job as an accountant. I said, please stop joking. That was the national director. He was like, yeah, we are hiring you. I said, are you serious? I'd cried to the Lord. I didn't know what to do. He said, yeah. I was like, when do I start? He said, any day. I said, like, even now, I'm ready. Because I needed to believe, you know. He said, yeah. He gave me the keys and he said, come, we'll show you the office. And I started working. I called my wife. I've started working as an accountant. God does things. And then later, I talked about that last time I was preaching. You know, God just moved in that direction with on the national platform to do ministry. So, I've seen God moving mountains. Amen? During prayer and fasting. I talked about the church branch. We prayed and fasted. Actually, the plan that we had as the church leadership was to write letters and raise funds to buy land and then build the church. We said, we need to have the church property. But after that prayer, God answered through our second branch. The electricity supply company marked the phase two of the power line, which went and crossed just in the middle of our church. And the government said, we are going to compensate all those that will be affected handsomely. Wow. And we were given 10,860 dollars. That is a lot of money in Zambian currency. That was 108,000 plus. Wow. This structure of the church, we struggled through by using cheap materials in the rural area to build it up. You know, it wasn't even like well designed. We didn't even use any plan. It was like, okay, let's have a structure. But God performed that miracle after praying and fasting by giving us that money. Then we built now a bigger place for that branch. We are talking about praying. So let me end there. There are so many stories that I can go on and talk about. So every time we plan how long we will go, it's very important. Unless if the Lord told you to say, okay, start, and you really heard him, and I'll tell you when to stop. Maybe you can do that. There is this time. So I told my wife, I said, that was in Zambia. I'm praying. I'm going to rock up myself in this bedroom. And then I'll pass the keys under, you know, the door. I'll not come out. I'll be praying and fasting, you know, whereby sometimes things are tough and you just want to be brutal, you know. So please don't open for me and don't give me any food. I've been here until God speaks to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Started praying. Just in the evening, I started calling, Mary, bring the keys. Bring the keys. Open up. She was like, no, the bedroom is self-contained. If you want to go to the restroom, just go in there. I said, no, I want to come out. No, you gave me a word that you are not going to leave. I shouldn't open. I'm not in prison. Please open up. So, what am I talking about? sometimes under our personal zeal or pressure of something, when you are just going into prayer, you feel this heavy burden and you calculate in your human mind to say, this will only take so much long for me, you know, to have a breakthrough. But just within hours of charging in the Spirit, the burden is no longer there. The Lord has come through. And then you remember that you pass the keys under. You begin to call for them. The moment I came out, I said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I went to the kitchen. I was like, you haven't prepared anything. Please make some food. I want to eat. So we have to be careful, you know, with the way we declare our prayers and fasting. Amen.
Amen.
I ran through a lot of mistakes, you know. I did some things out of zeal. And then later, you know, praise the Lord. Amen. So don't lock up yourself and say, hide the keys. Yeah. If it is me, I might hide them for good and say, until God speaks to you. Praise God. So we need to know how long we should go. And we need to take the precautions. Okay? Who should pray? Any Christian can pray and fast. Any believer in the Lord can pray and fast. In Mark chapter 2 verse 18, Jesus said, when the groom is gone, then they will pray and fast. We are to pray and fast as Christians. We can pray as individuals, as I've already said. We can pray as the church. We can pray as a family. We can pray, maybe the two of us as friends. We can pray as the nation. I've already mentioned about King Jehoshaphat. So many times the nation of Israel prayed, the nation of Judah. We know another nation, which wasn't even a Christian nation at that time, a believer nation in Yahweh, the nation of Nineveh, after Jonah preached aggressively the judgment message that was impending, the Bible says that as he was preaching, after 3 days, in fact, God gave him the word to say, in 40 days, I'll bring destruction upon this nation, and I'll punish the wicked nation. And the Bible says that when he just preached 3 days, only after 3 days, the whole nation, including the king declared a law on that third day and said, every man and woman, children, animals, must fast in this nation. No one will eat. They humbled themselves and fasted. Now, you are going to see the dilemma now. So after they fasted, the Bible says that Jonah, on the 40th day, he came out of the city and went into some distance. And he began to wait for the judgment. He was like, yes, the fire is about to thunder on this wicked nation. Remember, Nineveh was already an enemy to the Jewish people, to Israel, Judah. So Jonah had that maybe hate, you know, to say they have to be dealt with. But one thing Jonah did not realize is that when he was preaching this threatening judgment, the people humbled themselves and repented to the Lord. And God relented from judging them, from killing them. And so Jonah is waiting for fire to come down like on Sodom and Gomorrah. And nothing happens. Then he becomes upset. It's like, yes, I knew. That's why I was even running away. I knew that you were not going to kill them. You are a merciful God. That's why I didn't even want to come. And God will test him, you know, in different ways. As I said last time, I believe, I think it was in a small group or during the Bible study, that Jonah repented from his anger and everything. How do we know? Because he wrote a testimony which even explains his weakness like that. Only a person who has truly repented can talk about their shortcomings. Amen. If he did not, he could have hidden. He could have just talked about the thunder and fire that he preached. Praise God. So, a nation can also pray. The nation of Nineveh prayed to God. We can also pray and fast. And as we do that, God is going to answer our prayer. As I've said, as we pray, we have talked about the why, we have talked about the when, the how, the who, and how long. Fasting will manifest the results when we commit ourselves to it. We commit ourselves by praying, reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. And the other thing is, to the married, you can also pray and fast by not having intimacy or sexual relations for a certain time. You can agree and say, let's just find this time to consecrate ourselves in this direction. The Apostle Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. That only for a short period of time during prayer and fasting. So we can do that. We can fast anything. Let me just put it open to say, anything that is a habit to you, that is a good thing to fast from. Amen? How do you test yourself when you say, okay, I've stopped for a day from using this or doing this, and then you just feel that edge, like you can't control it. It is drawing you to that thing. Then know that it is a point of contact for prayer and fasting. It's a good thing to fast from. Amen?
Amen.
You can also fast from talking. That's another dynamic. Some of us have got this grace to talk. We can talk the whole day. We love it. We can fast from talking. That is the discipline of solitude. You just be silent sometime. You know, it's important. And just hear from the Lord. Having some quiet time. Just having some quiet time. That is another form of fasting. Okay? The Lord will answer whenever we pray and fast. It's good. It works. Moses fasted. Of course, 40 days. Elijah fasted 40 days. Jesus fasted 40 days. John the Baptist. In fact, John the Baptist was very strange. The Bible says that the man wasn't eating anything except grasshoppers and honey. Meaning that he fasted almost his entire life. And he was living in the woods, in the bush. And his garments were strange, you know, his dress code. He had beards as a Nazarene. You can just imagine, you know, meeting him in the forest. You can even run away from him. That's why when he came out to the people and he began to preach, he was a very aggressive man. He could tell people words like, "You brood of vipers." That was very offensive. An axe is ready to the root to cut. So he was preaching, threatening. This is the man who even went bold, blunt to the king and confronted the king to say, "What you are doing is wrong." And the king put him in prison. Then later his head is going to be on the plate. These are the men who prayed and fasted. We know of a woman in Acts chapter 2 by the name of Hannah. Anna, not Hannah. Anna. The Bible says that she was married for about 7 years. The husband died. She became a widow. She went and consecrated herself, dedicated herself to live in the temple until she was 84 years. She was in there praying and fasting. And on the day when they came to dedicate the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby, when they just entered, two prophets were present. You know, Simeon, the big man, he prophesied. He just held the child. He was even blind. He began to prophesy the destiny of Jesus Christ, being led by the Spirit. And he said, "Lord, let now thy servant live in peace, because he has seen the salvation and the restoration of Israel." The Spirit of God told him. And then Hannah also began to prophesy without being told about the destiny of the child, Jesus Christ, praising even God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have men and women in the Bible who prayed and fasted, and they saw the hand of God move in their lives. Praise God. So I'm going to end here today. If we are to take something, we should remember why we are to pray and fast. We should remember when we are to pray and fast. We should remember how. We should remember who we are also included. Sometimes other people say, "No, it's just for church leaders. While us, we are busy enjoying, it's pastors are the ones who are supposed to pray." They also want to enjoy. It's for everybody. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. And then, on the how, I talked about in different ways. It can be from food. It can be from coffee. It can be from anything that is a distraction to you. Fast from such a thing, and the Lord will be able to come through. You can fast from food and drink water. I didn't mention that. You can fast from food and have some juice. That is good. You can do that. Or you can just choose to take a day and not eat or not to drink, if you can manage. Amen? In 2017, when I came to California, I prayed and fasted for 40 days. And the way I do it sometimes is, the last week is a total fasting. Now, the challenge which I had is that, one thing I didn't know is that the temperatures in Zambia and here, they are different. So, this place was very hot. So I charged in the spirit, I charged to the very end. And then this day, when I went to work for campus safety at the library, I remember that shift. I started feeling dizzy. I was like, whoa. I was feeling dizzy. I was feeling like my heart is going like da, 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 da. And then I knew that it was fasting, but the enemy was like, you must be sick, you know, or something. So I called in my supervisor. I said, "I think I need to go and see the doctor." So I was escorted to Huntington Hospital. I went there. They asked me, "How are you feeling?" I said, "I'm feeling like this. So they said, "Okay." And I purposed it. I said, "I'm not going to tell them that I was fasting. I want to see if they're real doctors. They do their job." So they ran all the tests. And they came back and said, "Everything looks good, except that your body needs a lot of liquids." I said, "Yes!" At that moment, I knew, these are true doctors. Yeah, they know their jobs. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, we need to consider also the temperature. You know, when we are praying and fasting, some people, you know, they can even pass out. You know, if they haven't drank, you know, water or something. So we need to consider all those things. It's important also. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, it's important. We can take some liquids to just stabilize our bodies and then commit ourselves in prayer. And as we do it wholeheartedly to the Lord, we are going to see the results. Just as Jesus said that their reward, those who do it the opposite, they have received it in full. And those also who do it in the right way, they receive the reward of prayer and fasting in full. Amen. Praise God. So we are going to look at the questions in the end. What is God saying to you concerning his word today about prayer and fasting? What do you think has been preventing you from experiencing miracles and answered prayers? Or we can rephrase that one by saying, what do you think has been preventing you from praying and fasting? Amen. What should be done today which will make a difference in your prayer life and fasting? Okay? Ask God prayerfully to show you what must be done concerning his word. How is he leading you today? Amen.